Nom 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 nom. And what's up, podcast people and soundtrack geniuses around the world? You're listening to The Soundcast, the official podcast of TrackSounds.com. And in this podcast, we talk all things film, television, and video game music. I'm Christopher Coleman, and joining me for this episode is...
Kristen Romanelli of Film Score Monthly Online.
I'm Dane Walker, a composer, in parentheses.
And I'm Eric Woods of Cinematic Sound Radio.
Today is still Sunday, December 9th, 2018, and this is episode 126 of The Soundcast, where we react to and discuss the 2019 Grammy nominations for Best Music for Visual Media.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
A long time.
Great to be here.
It's been
here.
Such a long time since we've got together to talk about some nominations.
Are you still wearing the same clothes as the last show?
I can't tell if you are, but the rest of us are.
I grew a beard.
We've been talking for so long.
Same.
Yes, we just
Kristen
haven't had
finished
time
the
to
cookies
do
on the last show.
No, I still have two more.
Oh,
I have two almond biscotti and half a Buckeye.
Nice.
So I have no Buckeyes.
You made those or bought them?
I made them.
She made them in honor of our nom 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 special.
Me one cookie.
I got the Buckeye from a cookie swap that I went to earlier today.
Okay.
We didn't get to go to the cookie swap.
Nah, they're for me.
See, she said, I got to go to a cookie swap. And we just get to look on as she eats them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going through the nominations of the three biggest awards. We talked about the Golden Globes in our last episode. This episode, we're talking about the Grammy nominations. And next month, we'll be doing part three, which will be for the Oscar noms for Best Score. And so this time, I don't think I've ever talked about the Grammy nominations before, because usually they come out in like June or some weird month that it's like, I don't want to talk about last year's scores in June. It's just so irrelevant. So all of these different entities seem to be changing their schedules and nomination periods and all of this stuff. So they came out like the day after the Golden Globes announced their nominations on December 6th. They released theirs, the Grammys did, on December 7th. And so we're going to discuss in much the same fashion as we did in our last episode, these nominations. And then we're going to talk about a different category that the Golden Globes don't have. I don't think anyone else has, since the Grammys are primarily about music. We will talk about the best instrumental composition as well. So, backing up, the nominees for Best Music for Visual Media are Black Panther by Ludwig Göransson, Blade Runner 2049 by Benjamin Wallfisch and Hans Zimmer, Coco by Michael Giacchino, The Shape of Water by Alexander Desplat, Star Wars The Last Jedi by John Williams. All right. Does anyone watch the Grammys? You guys might watch the Grammys because it's not just boring film stuff.
No,
anyone watch the Grammys?
Never.
I never watch the Grammys.
The Grammys has not been exciting since Michael Jackson passed.
I don't think I've ever watched the Grammys.
Oh, wow. I did as
a
kid.
I've seen the Grammy.
You've seen the Grammy Award?
I have seen a Grammy Award. Sound engineer for the Boston Symphony has one.
Nice.
So there's one in their studio.
Kristen, you know if you get off the exit at my exit. No. It's important. If you look up in the WGBH building, there's a window with like five of them in it, plus a couple of Golden Globes, actually, and then an Oscar sitting in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You just look up. You're sitting at the light, and you look up, and it's like... Oh,
Why would someone put those in a window?
Because they've won so many, they don't care anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Is this on the pike?
Yeah, once you get off the pike, you turn off the pike, you go up, you know, you go right down the road, and I can't remember the name of the road at the moment, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you look up when you're sitting at the light, it's like, wow!
That's so random. Hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, we don't watch it, but we do know random places where the awards can be seen, so that's nice. That's good to know. Now, if they end up getting stolen, they're going to be coming looking for you as a suspect or something.
Strange things get stolen in Boston, so no one will care.
No one will notice.
Wally got stolen once, so
Wally? Hey.
Wally, the mascot for the Boston Red Sox.
Mm. Okay.
His name is Wally?
Yeah.
Wally, the green monster.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So none of us are big Grammy Award show fans. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about who they nominated for Best Music for Visual Media or Visual Vidia, whichever way you like to say it. Were there any surprises in this one for you? Eric.
I mean, based on, I guess their criteria is more the music itself than how it works in the movie. I'm shocked at the inclusion of Blade Runner 2049, because I honestly don't think it's a very good album. It's quite obnoxious, actually. So that's the one that I think is a surprise, but then I guess I shouldn't be surprised with Hans Zimmer's name associated with an album and it being recognized. But that's the only one that I can think of where I'm like, yeah, not really a great film music album. The rest played just fine.
Do we know that that's how they're judging it? Just as a standalone
listen?
Yeah,
it's all music. It's all music. I mean, it's all based on the music itself.
It's all based on the record and album.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's why most of their selections are way more varied and interesting
than,
let's say, any other award body.
Typically, when it comes to scores, they tend to get more of them because it's based on the album, so it's not being connected to the film, so you get you tend to see more stuff that you can agree with, shall we say. Mm.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that there too, Blade Runner 2049, but I mean, I have a very different opinion about the music than you do, Eric. I listen to it quite often, and I think it's a really interesting, if I'm in that right mood for it, which I guess maybe in the last year I've been in the mood for it, because I've listened to it quite a bit.
I love that score.
So, but I was still surprised to see it there. Dane, what about you?
I like Blade Runner as well, Chris. I just want to make that. I thought it was a good album. But I think they all make sense. It's the Grammys. So I think Eric's right. Like, it's got Hans Zimmer's name attached to it, so it makes sense that it's there. John Williams is clearly on there because it's a great album. The Shape of Water makes sense. It won Best Original Score at the Oscars. Coco makes sense because of the song and the whole thing. It's a Pixar movie. And Black Panther makes total sense, too. So, they all make sense.
No surprises.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Coco, I was kind of back and forth on Coco, I think, a little bit, but just because I don't know. But as far as the Grammys are concerned, it makes total sense that they're all there.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen. Kristen.
Sorry. My phone started making noises, so. Okay. The whole thing is a surprise to me because I never know how Grammy timing works. As Christopher mentioned earlier in the show, it's all kind of arcane. It always seems to have nominations from a year ago, some cases like 2 years ago. Like, the new artist category is always messed up for me, so I don't know how any of this works. So, but looking at it from album point of view, it all kind of makes sense. So no real surprises. Really happy to see that this is a very Goranson heavy year, especially in the Grammys because of his work with Childish Gambino. So, yay!
Yeah, he's definitely all over the place in the Grammys, especially, which is awesome. It is. Has anyone heard Creed 2? I haven't listened to Creed 2 yet.
I have.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yes.
Is good stuff.
Okay. I like it.
Better than the first? Same as the first?
The first, I think, is a hard question. Yeah. The first I feel is very special because that's kind of what first put Gordonson on my serious radar outside of, hey, this guy does the music for Community. Woo! which I loved Community. but yeah, it's
okay.
It's a good build on it.
Okay. All right. I look forward to diving in. So I looked it up. The eligibility is, it has to come out between October 1st, 2017 through September 30th, 2018.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Makes no sense.
It's a seemingly very random window, but that's their window.
Yeah.
But then again, the Grammys are about the recording, so it's about the album release. So it's about...
Sure, but why do they have... Like, if they're celebrating the year, why does it have to begin on October 1?
Because that's the year they chose, like having a fiscal year, you know?
sense. Yeah, there must be a good story behind that, but...
It
makes no sense.
The phonograph was invented on... you know, October 1st.
Now you might be onto
something. No, I don't know. I'm just making that up.
I'm sure it's nothing that that interesting as that you just said. But I bet there's got to be a story behind it. And I would love to know what that story is. Okay, so biggest snubs, anyone? I'll start. Thor Ragnarok came out in that time. And that was a pretty interesting score, Mark Mothersbaugh. Thought that might deserve at least a little nod or something. And then I put The Death of Stalin again by Christopher Willis, which I mentioned in our last episode as well as being snubbed. It also falls within that time frame. I wouldn't expect so much the Grammys to pick up on a Death of Stalin as I would the Golden Globes, but I still put it anyway. But definitely Thor Ragnarok, I would have thought would have gotten on somebody's radar. What about you, Dane?
Oh, same for the Golden Globes. I think Solo was robbed. Ready Player One was robbed. And Fantastic Beasts wouldn't qualify for this, so it's not eligible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Death of Stalin is a good call. That one should be getting awards like mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than film music community, doesn't seem to have been much...
I wonder if it's such a great job, people don't know that it's not, you know, Russian composers.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Well, that's a weird little film to experience in the theater, though. I mean, I'm not sure many people really understood its comic value.
But I think if you're thinking about musical composition, I mean, it might be one of the strongest.
Oh yeah, from a musical composition
pieces, for the lack of a better word, mm-hmm. in a really long time. I mean, just the amount of research that went into that score and just the way it sounded. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was mimicking, but he was also doing something completely different with the score. And you just think that this type of score would be perfect for Grammys. It plays so well on album too. Mm-hmm. This is a great album. So you're right. Yeah, Death of Stalin's a great choice. But I'm surprised that musically. It's not something the Grammys would have picked up on.
I mean, you're right. The Grammys love Shostakovich. So
right.
The Boston Symphony Orchestra got nominated for their Shostakovich recordings this year. So,
Really?
Okay.
Why did I miss really? Those?
Did you think there were any snubs, Kristen?
I would say Solo, but I'm not sure if it's eligible this year, but it's also in the instrumentals, in the instrumental compositions. So I'm not sure, but there's also Ready Player One, Black Klansman again, which also has a composition, the instrumental composition nomination. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. These are weird.
No one knows. But one day I'm going to find out how these things work. I really do want
to
know.
If you give me 10 minutes, I can go to the basement, find my Ouija board, and we can commune with the Grammys.
We might find out there is no reason. It just is. All right, let's do the will should game. Eric, what should win? What will win?
Wow. Okay, so should win. Out of all of those, my favorite is Black Panther.
Okay.
So like the Golden Globes, I think Black Panther is the strongest of the bunch.
Okay.
But will, I'm going to say that The Shape of Water, due to its Academy Award win, will probably put it over the top. So I think Alexandre Desplat is going to win another, I say another, but I don't know how many he's won. So he's going to win a Grammy Award this year. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dane, should and will.
Black Panther should win. Eric said it quite well. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Blade Runner won.
Wow. You wouldn't be. So that's your pick for will.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm thinking of that in terms of popularity. That's my logic.
Bold move. Bold call. Kristen, should and will.
I'm going to ignore everything that I wrote in the rundown and say, I'm going to say Black Panther. Let's paint this town Goranson.
Mm-hmm. Should and will?
Yes. Yes. Black Panther and all the Childish Gambino, you know, record of the year, song of the year. Kendrick Lamar has Black Panther for album of the year. And R&B song of the year has another Childish Gambino Goranson collaboration.
Okay.
Let's do the whole thing.
Just going to do the whole deal. All right. I say I'll have a toss up on the should between Black Panther and Blade Runner, but I'm going to go with Black Panther because I think you guys bring up some good points. I think it's the most, maybe the most pop-ish, you know, not pop. I think the Grammy, I don't know who votes for the Grammy Awards. Does anyone know who votes, or is there a Grammy Association? I have no idea who votes for these.
Yeah, there's an association. It's the Recording Academy.
Oh, right. That's right. I did know that.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be the most embraceable and the most quote unquote hip score to kind of, you know, of all those scores, like, oh, have you heard the Black Panther soundtrack or score? I think people will have done that more than Star Wars Last Jedi too, but I think Black Panther might edge it out because it's just a little more hip, hippity hoppity than any of the others. So I'm going to lean that way for the should and will, actually. So we'll see. We will see how Black Panther does. It would be getting lots of votes from us if we were a part of any of these organizations. We'll find out. When does it come out? I wrote it down. The show airs on February 10th on CBS, so we have to wait a little bit longer for that show to come out for us to get the answers. All right, let's talk about this other category, Best Instrumental Composition. I had no idea of what this award was about, so I looked it up, so I'm going to read very quickly a very short definition and a brief history of this particular award. This is found on Wikipedia. The Grammy Award for Best Instrumental Composition, including its previous names, has been awarded since 1960. The award is presented to the composer of an original piece of music, not an adaptation, first released during the eligibility year. In theory, any style of music is eligible for this category, but winning compositions are usually in the jazz or film score genres. The Grammy is awarded to the composer or composers of the music, not to the performing artist, except if the artist is also the composer. There have been several minor changes to the name of the award. In 1958, it was awarded as Best Musical Composition, first recorded and released in 1958, over 5 minutes in duration. In 1960, it was awarded as Best Musical Composition, first recorded and released in 1959, more than 5 minutes duration. In 1962, it was awarded the Best Instrumental Theme or Instrumental Version of Song. From 1963 to 64 and from 67 to 70, it was awarded as Best Instrumental Theme. In 1965, it was awarded as the Best Instrumental Composition other than jazz. From 1971 to present, it has been awarded as the Best Instrumental Composition. And the nominees for that very long history, historical category are the following. Blut und Boden, which is Blood and Soil. Yes, that's my German accent. By Terence Blanchard. Chrysalis by Jeremy, is it Kittel or Kittel? 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 How do you pronounce it? Kittel? Kittel and Company? Kittel. Jeremy Kittel. Kittel. Infinity War by Alan Silvestri. Mind Mission by John Powell and John Williams. The Shape of Water by Alexander Desplat. So, what do we have to say about these? I don't know how well did you guys know this category and are familiar with its construction and what qualifies pieces for this before us talking about it tonight.
I mean,
I usually follow it.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, well, I mean, mostly... I mean, there's a lot of film music that gets nominated in this in this category. And, I mean, some of the winners have been, like, Danny Elfman for Batman. Randy Newman won for The Natural. Okay. You know, John Williams has won a ton as well. He won last year, actually, for... no, sorry, not last year. 2009 was, I think, his last win for Indiana Jones and The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be the last win for Williams. But anyway, there's a lot of interesting, it's an interesting mix of like film music and classical music and whatever. So it's interesting to see how strong film music plays in this category.
Yeah.
And, it's nice to see that you've got, that they don't kind of snub film music.
Yes.
They don't look down on it.
Yes.
They embrace it. And I think that's what's great about it.
That's what surprises me as I look at this, because if this includes jazz and classical, it's like, wow, that four out of the five are film scores. Now, was Chrysalis used in a film?
Probably.
I don't know.
It wasn't composed for film, no. Right?
If it so was, that's amazing.
That's very surprising to me. That.
And it's rare to see that many in this category.
Because
if you look at the history of it, there's not... They embrace film music. They embrace television music as well. But, I mean, it's like, wow, to see so many film music pieces
this year. I guess that's why it never really stood out to me before, because it was probably more a mix of different genres than that would catch my eye.
Yeah. Right. Usually when I'm doing awards columns for Film Score Monthly... I'll kind of pour through all of the nominations, because there's usually like a one-off, and this is one of those categories where there would be a one-off of like, oh, and also John Williams was nominated for this, or oh, also Thomas Newman was nominated in this category. The arranging category is the same too. There's sometimes, you know, and this year there's a bunch of film score nominations in that.
Okay, I missed it.
So... Yeah, you usually have to comb through some of the more seemingly random categories, but there is a lot of film music recognition.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a very interesting collection of pieces. I don't know how, if you're just looking at it as a standalone piece, I don't know how you pick one over the other, but do you have a favorite out of these five?
Yeah, I really like Chrysalis of the five. And that's saying something, because I love John Powell's solo. And I'm a huge fan of Terrence Blanchard, and that piece is amazing.
It is.
And Infinity War and Shape of Water won the Oscar. So, but Chrysalis to me, and again, speaking as a composer, like I listened to that piece and I was just like, wow, you can create this mood, this feeling, this, you can make this statement with that little amount of instruments and such an odd, you know, choice of instrumentation. I mean, if you listen to that piece, you can hear the mandolin doing something weird. You got a dulcimer doing something and they're with each other, but it's really fast. I mean, like, it's just really creative piece that the other ones are very, I don't want to say standard in a bad way. I just want to say that's what they're supposed to be. But this was like, I was like, wow, this blows my mind.
Interesting. The track that blew my mind is the Blut und Boden.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It's great, too. It would have been between those two, but of the two of them, I picked Chrysalis.
I mean, you know, four of the five really kind of popped to me. The Shape of Water, I mean, it's solid, but I was never, like, just overwhelmed by it at all. And so that one's the one that's kind of like, I think if any of those other four won, I'd be like, okay, I can see that. But the Blood and Soil is would be my top pick out of those five. What about you, Kristen?
I'm really torn between Blut und Boden and Mein Mission. Like I keep
they
on
both
going,
sound German. Blut und Boden, Mein Mission.
Mein Mission, yeah. Yeah, I keep on going back and forth because I'm like, yeah, Blut und Boden all the way. And then like, no, Mein Mission. Like I really want Solo to win something, but I also really want BlacKkKlansman to win something. And I don't know, Chrysalis reminded me of something, a track off of a Vanessa Mae album that I listened to a lot in the 90s. So
so that disqualifies it?
I wouldn't say it disqualifies it, but it's a weird nostalgia for me. it stirs a weird sense of nostalgia. Rather than like a nice, warm, fuzzy Star Wars nostalgia, like Solo.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I'm torn between the two, between Blanchard and Powell/Williams.
All right, Eric, which of them stand out to you?
Mein Mission for me, just because I'm in love with Solo, and I'd love to see John Powell win. For that, along with Williams, it's just a beautifully composed piece, almost fugal in composition, and it begins what I consider to be one of the greatest Star Wars set pieces I've ever seen. And the combination of that track, Breakout, Reminiscence Therapy, and Into the Maw, it's just it's incredible composing. And so if Solo can't win for the soundtrack of the year, then I definitely wanted to pick up something. And since its only nomination is in this category, I'm going for Mein Mission. And I can't get enough of Mein Mission. According to iTunes, I've listened to it about 45 times. So I love it. I absolutely love it. And yeah, it works. It works as a film cue, but also as a standalone piece of music. It is sublime. It's something special. This score is something special. So it's got to win something.
We shall see. And we shall see in February, I suppose. All right. Well, any final thoughts about these here 61st Grammy Award nominations?
No, but some history. Did you know John Williams won 6 times in a row?
Whoa.
Starting from 1978 all the way through to 1983.
I did
not know
that.
Won for Star Wars, Close Encounters, Superman, Empire Strikes Back, Raiders, E.T., and then in 1984, he lost a Flashdance.
Of course he did.
Wow.
Oh, what a feeling.
And he was nominated for Return of the Jedi, but that is unreal.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
He won 6 times in a row.
That is pretty amazing.
That's why
he should have for Oscars as well.
Yeah, that's why he's a Titan.
You list the list of titles and you're like, oh, yeah, well, of course he did. as soon as you list those titles off, it's like, oh, yeah, there's... Yeah. That's a no-brainer. 84, Flashdance. Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah.
Moroder.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And beat out Gandhi, Return of the Jedi, the Staying Alive soundtrack, and Tootsie.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, that was a weird 3 years between 84, 85, and 86. And I think they might have changed the rules because it was mostly soundtrack, like the soundtrack album songs and I guess score as well, because it was Flashdance, then Purple Rain, and then Beverly Hills Cop. And you see most of the nominations as well. They're mostly for like soundtrack albums containing songs. So like Ghostbusters and Footloose and the Back to the Future album. Not necessarily Sylvester's score, but everything else. So, and then that all kind of changed again in 1987, where Barry then won for Out of Africa. And then it looked like, you know, I think it was even compositions and scores as well, because the Top Gun anthem, not necessarily Top Gun score, was nominated. Yeah, it's interesting to go back and see the history. But yeah, Williams winning six in a row is...
That's why they changed the rules.
Can you imagine his mantle?
I know.
That would be something to see.
Maybe that's his office. Kristen, it could be. The one in Boston.
I keep all the ones I went on the East Coast over there, and then the ones I went on the West I keep in my Los Angeles home.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't imagine how many awards he has. I'm sure he has no idea.
He uses them to heat the home.
These are my solar collectors. I reflect the light off of them. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up episode 126 of the Soundcast, and we've just went through the 61st Grammy Award nom-nom-noms for Best Score for Visual Media, or Best Music, I should say, for Visual Media. We'd love to know what you think about the Grammys. Do you watch them yourself? Do you pay attention to these categories that involve film music? We'd love to hear your thoughts about it. Share some stories about when you've watched the Grammys and something crazy happening. We'd love to know why we should watch the Grammys if we're missing out on anything. And you can do so by hitting us up on Twitter at Audio Soundcast, or you can send us an email at soundcast@tracksounds.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget, or you can find us on Facebook. Or you can send me a tweet at my personal Twitter at C Coleman, or you can reach out to Kristen Romanelli.
And the easiest way to find me is on Twitter at KB for now. That's KBFORNOW. You can also find Film Score Monthly online at fsmonlinemag.com. Also on Twitter at fsmonlinemag.
Or you can reach out to Dane Walker.
At Maestro Dane on Twitter. And you can find me if you Google Dane Walker and music and you put them together. You can find me on SoundCloud, Dane Walker Music, YouTube, Dane Walker Music. Actually, I have two holiday albums out. So if you are looking for some Christmas music, I've got an album that came out a couple years ago. It's solo piano called Amid the Winter Snow. And I had an album I released last year called Songs for Christmas Eve. And you can find that on Spotify. And they're both on iTunes, Amazon, and Bandcamp. And my daughter sang on that album last year. And it's still...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Her voice was amazing. It was the first time we'd recorded it. And even as her father saying it's amazing, I know everybody's like, you're biased, but everyone that's heard it has said, wow, we had no idea she could do that. So
Very get a nice. Listen.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Or you can reach out to Eric Woods.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter at SinSound Radio, or on Facebook at Cinematic Sound, or check out the Cinematic Sound radio program at cinematicsound.net.
All right. Once again, thank you for listening to the Soundcast. We really appreciate it. And until our next episode, we want to say, or may the notes be with you.
Lovably awkward.
Put in the board.